cliffcentral.com.
Hell yeah.
She was hurt for the money. So hurt for it, honey. She was hurt for the money, so you better treat her right.
I think we have just surpassed the most cover versions for any song of all time.
I was going to ask what version number that is.
No, it's 236 or something. All right. So what's happening?
Before we talk about the stock market, I was listening to you guys as I was driving in, and I can answer my Bailey's question.
Okay, which one?
Which
it takes
one?
An hour and 15 minutes if you're going to cook rabbit in red wine.
I knew somebody would answer. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Anthea.
How many of Lucas's rabbits have you bought?
None.
Did you just take them all of his hands?
I didn't know I could find them in South Africa, actually.
Right, you can buy them from Lucas, soft and tender.
Now I know.
Lucas, do not sell to Anthea or Mabali.
He doesn't want to sell to people who are going to eat them.
He said he would.
No, he didn't.
I asked him.
Oh, really? Oh, so he
there
speaks with forked tongue.
Yeah. All right, he's all I business off the microphone.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Trying to be all humanitarian when he's on the mic. Okay, let's get into it. The weaker market on Friday.
Yeah, horrible market on Friday.
Yeah, not good.
Overall down 1.2%. Just generally the market felt heavy. Resources, absolutely messy, down 3%. Some big moves. Exxaro down 7%. Kumba down almost 6%.
I was sitting with Anthea on Friday, around lunchtime, and I said to you, oh, look at these.
Anglo, you mentioned.
Yeah, and then you went, huh?
Yeah.
Down almost 5%.
Yeah, Anglo was down 5%. They really did vomit on Friday. The golds were a little bit better. Harmony Gold and Goldfield, sorry, I quote the codes.
Yeah.
They were actually positive between 1% and 2%, but not enough really for the resources. Mostly it was lower copper and iron ore prices that were to blame. Financials held their own. They were up about 5 basis points, not much though, but the banks were okay, you know, up 0.5% on average. And then in the industrials, the overall index was down almost 1%. But remember, Bidcorp reported results on Wednesday or Thursday, Wednesday. And that stock just kept going, up another 4.5% on Friday, really stealing the show after Thursday's 11% move higher. Then unfortunately, the rest of the industrials, kind of all the telcos were lower between 1% and 2% Imperial. The only other one was Massmart on Friday, up almost 4%. And this was after they reported results, though, their full year results. And despite a very much, as they said, strained consumer, they managed a 16% rise in full year profit. Turnover was up 8%. Diluted headline earnings per share up 13%. So really, Massmart having a good run. I think basically they're saying that they've managed to contain head office costs and they've carefully managed merchandising. In other words, which products they put on the shelves, which has really helped them. Product inflation at about 6.7%. And an increase in stores meant that like-for-like sales actually was in real terms declined. So at some stage, I'm going to have to explain this. But what you have to do is when you look at the retailers, you have to extract inflation because it's like a natural boost for them, basically.
Sure.
You know? That'll boost revenue, you can imagine. But if you strip out inflation, you want to see how they're really doing. And unfortunately, Massmart didn't do so well. The non-discretionary, like food, they say food and liquor. I mean, I think liquor is probably discretionary, but it seems non-discretionary.
That's where Mubs goes to fill up her trolley.
Okay, well, that was up 11.7%. Thank you, Mubs, for that.
I'm going to have to relook that whole thing.
Yeah, we all are. How much did Praveen put it up? Like spirits up like 4 rand or something a bottle.
I can't remember either. A lot is the
too
answer.
Much.
All right.
And then very weak kind of spend in the rest of Massmart, unfortunately. What was interesting about what they said was that they are looking to expand to Mozambique and Nigeria. They currently generate about 10% of revenue outside of South Africa. Hmm. And in the next 2 years, they want to make that 26%. So that's a big expansion story. I mean, funny they should choose Mozambique and Nigeria, the two countries, I think, in Africa that are really struggling, actually.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Okay. And then on the...
I mean, those countries are also the most dangerous to operate in, really, in terms of like open markets in Africa.
Yes, and Mozambique has just defaulted on their debt. Yeah. And so, you know, and they don't have cash. They actually don't have cash.
Not great. But they must have a strategy.
I'm sure, yes. Actually, the other company that reported on Friday was Liberty. And they said the same thing, actually. They're also looking to expand outside of South Africa. And like this, they've got this big idea. They want to go into Africa, especially West Africa, through their long-term insurance business and also in asset management.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so... Kind of, I think it looks like businesses in South Africa are generally wanting to expand outside of South Africa. And I think it's almost a push factor because in South Africa, there's no growth. The consumer's under pressure. You know, what do they do? And I think it's an overbroked or an oversold market, if you like. We've got lots of banks. Nigeria's got lots of banks. But we're pretty... satiated, if you like, from a retail and financial services business. And so maybe that's what our companies are saying. Let's go and look in Africa.
Okay, well, I suppose they have to say something. They can't just sit here with very little growth and expect things to get better.
True.
So they have to tell shareholders something they're going to want to know.
You think they're just trying to placate us?
Well, I think they're just trying to show that they've got plans, even though they don't.
You might have a point there,
I actually think it's a lot of hot air.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Let's see how much money they put into these expansions into Africa, and then we'll know for sure what
they
mean.
Well, I can tell you for Liberty, because they acquired a Nigerian long-term insurer for 160 million rand, which actually is not that much money, now that I think about it. I mean, it's great that they are expanding, but you're right. Maybe it's just a show.
Yeah, let's just monitor it.
We'll see. It'll show soon enough.
While we're talking about local companies, can we just look at a couple of others?
Mm-hmm.
Assore Mining?
Yeah, in fact, let's look at the miners. So the resource, Assore, Impala, and Sibanye Gold all reported as well. Assore, first half, so only half year results, fairly strong set of results, 190% increase compared to last year's results, same time last year. Diluted headline earnings per share, 21 Rand 5 cents. Dividend a bit shy. They have currently got a net cash position of 1.7 billion rand on the balance sheet. So they're looking quite healthy, even though results were just okay. If you assume spot prices where they are now, they're on a healthy dividend, forward dividend yield of over 7%.
Hmm.
More conservatively, I think you would expect 5% to be fairly good. 7 is fantastic. I think one of the things was they kind of... their timing of purchasing ARM's Dwarsrivier chrome mine for 450 million rand seems to have done them particularly well. And we've seen recovery in kind of three of their main commodities, iron ore, manganese, and chrome. And that's definitely what's helped them, I think. The share...
Manganese and chrome. Ah, the things Mubs really wants her jewelry made of.
Maybe she wants her pots made of them.
Manganese and chrome.
Her pots to cook her rabbit in.
You know, if a pot can last you a minimum of 5 years, that's a good investment.
Isn't that what they use to make pots? I might be wrong. I'm just,
by the way,
throwing it out there.
On this rabbit thing, since we're stuck on it, someone just sent me a message to say, if you ate rabbit only, you would die because it has zero nutritional value.
Well, it tastes delicious, doesn't it?
No, really?
Yeah, so there you go, you two. You savage rabbit eaters.
Well,
I knew someone was going to say that.
Yeah, apparently rabbit eaters, if they have no fat from another source, will eventually die.
Oh, okay.
Oh, if you ate that only.
No.
Oh,
turns out rabbit meat is so lean that if a person ate it exclusively, they would develop something called fat hunger, also known as rabbit starvation.
That actually...
Hang on, would I lose a lot of weight first?
You see, this is exactly what I was thinking immediately. This doesn't sound like a bad thing at all.
No. Guys, you got to work it out. Nature gives us all the answers, right?
Rabbit eaters will develop diarrhea in a week with headaches, lassitude, a vague discomfort. If there are enough rabbits, the people eat till their stomachs are distended, but no matter how much they eat, they never feel satisfied.
Oh.
Huh? So I'm guessing this is taking extremes into consideration. Yeah. So if you woke up and ate... rabbit meat only for breakfast, lunch, and supper.
Right.
This is what we're talking about. Supper, right.
For a full week.
This is what we're talking about, right?
All right.
Okay.
That's a bit extreme.
No, nobody's going to do that.
And I had rabbit meat. It was my pre-marathon dinner, and I did a sub-4-hour marathon. So I think it was okay.
Yeah, did you have
that's because you prepared. That's because you had a rabbit. But guys, if you look at nature, right, rabbits are really cute. So that's just a reminder we don't eat them. Same with cats and dogs. We mustn't eat cats and dogs.
Oh, Bill,
because they're
please.
Cute.
I honestly don't care.
All right, back to the markets. Okay, so
we were talking about Impala Minus, yeah. Platinum. Mm-hmm. They also reported first half results. They unfortunately printed a headline loss of 508 million rand compared to a year ago, where they printed a headline profit of 347 million rand. Couple of things that happened there. They had no recurrence in their tax credits, and they had production affected by smelter maintenance and safety stoppages. I mean, it doesn't look great, but their balance sheet is actually still quite comfortable. They've got a 4 billion rand of undrawn debt facility, which they can utilize. And in fact, yeah, so, I mean, it's, you know, if they're going to use their debt facility, then that's fine. Although their cash burn rate for the first half was 1.7 billion rand for 6 months. Really not good.
No.
Not great at all. And then Sibanye Gold, the last one of the resources. Fairly good picture there. Solid earnings and cash flow, actually. 5% increase in dividend yield. They reported a 265% year-on-year increase in headline earnings per share. I mean, that's and in earnings per share, a 408% increase. So it's particularly good. I think the gold price there is definitely what helped them. And also, it does look like their diversification strategy. You know, last year, Froneman was buying up all the cheap, in inverted commas, assets that he could lay his hands on.
Yeah.
Seems to have been working well for him. And also that whole earnings number does actually include some of the platinum earnings that he bought last year. So that'll help him.
Okay. One other thing, can we look at the international markets quickly? Just see what's going on in Europe and at the Dow Jones.
Okay, so just to touch on that, in Europe, pretty much what I told you last week, actually, the spread between the German Bunds and the French Oats continues to widen. It looks like investors really are running to Germany as a safe haven investment class again, mm-hmm. And dumping French government bonds. The market still, like, some days good, some days bad. It's the European market showing a little bit of life, I must admit, but still kind of in the balance last week. The week before was not bad at all. And then in the US, the Dow Jones had its 11th straight day of gains on Friday. I mean, some of the gains were really tiny, but and of course, the other indices like S&P 500 and the NASDAQ didn't have consecutive gains, but the Dow Jones did. So all very positive in global markets at the moment, which is quite nice. And I think that should help us gain some momentum at least. I hope so, because our market just really feeling a bit heavy at the moment.
Right. Well, let's hope so. We need to find somewhere where there's growth. And remember, though, there was, I mean, we had this discussion about a year or two ago about how the miners were just going to be in huge trouble. Mines were not the way to go. And look at what a resurgence they've had.
Well, some, not all of them.
Yes.
And the problem is the ones, I think it's going to be interesting to see which ones work. Because some of them are spending on capital expenditure and some of them are not. And you need that for growth. So
right.
We'll see. We've got lots of results today still, huh? I'm going to Bidvest later. Sasol's reporting today. Brimstone are reporting. And Brimstone is an important one because on Thursday, the 2nd, we've got Premier Foods listing, and they're being extracted out of Brimstone. So we'll see. We spoke about this listing last week, by the way. And just before I go, I must just tell you, we've changed our mind. We're actually not going to partake in the IPO. So Henry's the analyst on that one, and we were talking about it last week, and we're saying that on the surface of it, it looks like a good story, but their currency rate assumptions are not what we would put going forward. And if you change that into our assumptions, then all of a sudden it looks relatively expensive. So we're a bit worried about that. It may spike on Thursday like these IPOs normally do, But I think in the long term, there'll be an opportunity to buy it cheaper.
Just quickly before you go, we did mention last week that we may want to look at doing a hashtag retire, just like we've done a hashtag invest. Now, we got a lot of emails from people. What's the gist on this?
Okay.
Have you done some research?
A look at it. Yes, I have. Okay. And I've made a decision, actually.
Yes.
So we're going to run two portfolios. One is a low equity portfolio and one a high equity portfolio. They're going to be Regulation 28 compliant. So this is the regulation that governs pension and provident fund money. The issue with hashtag retire, though, is going to be that you cannot withdraw your money until you are 55. So this really is to build pension fund money and to make sure that you retire comfortably. Now, there's always a trade-off. If you're in hashtag invest, you can get your money in 3 days. You can sell it down, no problem. But you don't get the tax benefits that you do in Regulation 28 retirement annuity funds.
Okay.
So I'm afraid you're going to have to save a little bit more.
Right.
That's not a bad thing. I shouldn't be afraid. It's the right thing to do. And it's you'll get tax benefits. And we looked at it because our finance minister put dividend withholding tax up to 20% last week.
Yeah.
And in these portfolios, you don't pay dividend withholding tax, you don't pay capital gains tax, and you don't pay trading as much trading costs as you do in the others. So there's no tax, basically, but you do have to wait until you're 25 in these portfolios.
Okay, so this is a way for you to effectively put Pravin off the scent of your money.
That's exactly right.
So you can you obviously are putting it away for the long term.
Till you're 55. Mm.
So don't do this if you're already 50.
No, absolutely do it if you're 50. You've got 5 years of tax-free money. Why not?
Okay, so who shouldn't do it and who should?
I think everyone should, actually.
All right, so how much do you need to put in?
Okay, so it's a minimum. We'll do a minimum of 250 Rand a month. Yeah.
All right, so if you want to do this, then Anthea will manage it.
Yeah, and some people already have retirement annuity funds, and you're welcome to move it over. We just have to do a Section 14. It's just, as you can imagine, if you have a retirement annuity fund with somebody else, they're going to want to hold on to it. So it's entirely up to you to go through the process. And it does take about a month or two because the person on the other side won't want to move it over. But either way, if you don't, you really should start one. If you don't have a pension fund, you should take advantage of this tax benefit.
If you want Anthea to work hard for your money, then and not Pravin take it, then what you need to do is maybe consider hashtag retire. We'll put more details up on the Money Shot homepage. CliffCentral.com.